a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is good. It is he that has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy endures forever. And his truth endures to all generations. Father, as we now pause in prayer, we ask that you would prepare our hearts, Lord, that you would speak to us today. And Lord, as we stand at the head of a week that is supposed to be given to thanksgiving, we ask, Lord, that you would stir our hearts to be thankful. That we would be those that exhibit in our lives a lifestyle dominated with praise, thanksgiving, and gratitude. For we ask this in Jesus' name, and all God's people agreed, saying, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Have you ever found it difficult to give thanks? I realize that's really a rhetorical question, and most likely just about everyone here will answer yes to it in some way. I think we've all experienced those times where we didn't want to or didn't know how to give thanks. This first decade of the 21st century has been full of difficulty. We've seen terrorism, not just in our own nation, but around the world. We've witnessed war. We've experienced an economic downturn or collapse. We've endured earthquakes. We've seen tsunamis, hurricanes, floods, fires. We go on and on and on about the different things that have been in the news over the last 10 years. Some mornings it seems that you wake up expecting to hear something bad on the news, on the radio or the TV. There are some places in the world that are mostly unaffected by these things, not that they don't experience hardship and difficulty, but that they are not bombarded hourly or even minute by minute by the troubles affecting the world like we are here in America. And in such a climate as this, it sometimes is difficult for us to give thanks. America is one of only a handful of nations, however, that has a national holiday for giving thanks. Thanksgiving in America is a distinctive holiday in that it's not commemorating a battle or it's not remembering anyone's life, their birth, or their death. It simply is a day set aside to express thanks. And as I've been thinking about Thanksgiving this last week, a few questions began to come to mind. Number one, are we giving thanks? Secondly, who are we giving thanks to? And third, what are we giving thanks for? Are we giving thanks? For quite some time now, Thanksgiving has been more associated with turkey and football and the start of the Christmas shopping season than it has with actually giving thanks. Many retailers are waiting for the week after Thanksgiving to give thanks so that they can see if they've met their benchmarks for success at the open of the shopping season. It's amazing that we have a shopping season. Only in America is consumption a sport, a national pastime. I mean, some people take the day off of Thanksgiving to rest and get ready for the day of shopping that will come the next day. And so, we sometimes get distracted from what it really is to be about. It wasn't always this way. In 1789, our first president, George Washington, he was not a Democrat or a Republican. He issued the first presidential Thanksgiving proclamation, saying, "Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey his will, to be grateful for his benefits, and to humbly implore his protection and favor. And notice this, whereas both houses of Congress have by their joint committee requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer." Amen. Things may have changed a little bit. You can read through his whole proclamation. You can search it online. But there he asks that all would unite in rendering unto him our sincere and humble thanks. In Paul's first letter to Timothy, in the second chapter, he said, I exhort therefore, first of all, that supplications and prayers and giving of thanks be made for all men. In verse 3, he said, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. A couple of things to note from those two verses, 1 Timothy 2, 1 and 3. Notice that Paul says, I exhort first of all. Thanksgiving ought to play an important part in our lives and not on just one day of the year. It ought to be a dominating part of our lives as followers of God, as Christians. But secondly, Paul says, this is good and acceptable to God. In Hebrews chapter 13, we read that we New Testament believers are to offer sacrifices to the Lord. And one of the sacrifices that is mentioned there is the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips, giving praise or thanks to his name. A lot of times when we think of the idea of a sacrifice, our minds immediately go to the Old Testament and the offering of lambs and goats and an ox and so forth. But the sacrifices of the New Testament are those that are offered to the Lord in thanksgiving and praise. And the scripture says that those are good and acceptable to the Lord. It should be a dominating part of our lives because it is good and acceptable to the Lord. But in Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, he says there, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Again, notice two things in that verse. He says, in everything give thanks. I think it's important to make the distinction that Paul does not say, for everything give thanks, but in everything give thanks. There are many trying and difficult things that come into our lives, things that are allowed of God. Ultimately, in him, they work out for good, but they don't seem to be good at the time that we're going through them. We would most certainly find it hard to thank God for those sort of difficult things. But I believe it's an important aspect of enduring tribulation, enduring difficult things, that we would learn to give thanks in them. You see, in giving thanks to God in difficult circumstances and situations, we are reminded of how good our God is, even if the circumstance we're facing is not in and of itself good. We're able to see that he is good, and therefore, in everything, give thanks. For, Paul says, this is the will of God concerning you. It is God's desire, it is God's plan that we would be those who give thanks to him. Many times people ask that question, what is God's will for my life? Well, the scripture says there in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, one aspect of God's will for your life and mine is to give thanks. But that brings us to the second question, who are we giving thanks to? A story is told of the 19th century sociologist, writer, and atheist, Harriet Martineau, that one morning she was visited by a lady, and Harriet brought this lady into her garden that was in full bloom, and waving her hands over the flowers, Harriet said, "Who wouldn't be grateful for blessings such as these?" The lady turned to Harriet and said, "Miss Martineau, grateful to whom, according to your theory?" Harriet answered with a smile, "Well, I guess you have me there." I find it very interesting that there is not more of an outcry among secular atheistic groups against the Thanksgiving holiday. For many years, there have been those that have been trying to get rid of Christmas and Easter and in the public sector, but they have not really addressed Thanksgiving. Interesting, because we know for certain that there are many pagan roots to things like Christmas and Easter, but not so much Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is wholly focused upon, or should be, giving thanks to Almighty God. It is even proclaimed by the president every single year that Americans should give thanks to Almighty God. Why is it that there aren't more atheists crying out against it? I would suggest that they recognize the need to be thankful, although they don't know who to be thankful to, as Harriet revealed there with her friend on that day. They understand that gratitude is important. We as Christians know who we are thankful to. In Psalm 92, the psalmist says, "It is a good thing to give thanks to God." In Psalm 75, verse 1, we read, "Unto thee, O God, do we give thanks. Unto thee do we give thanks." Psalm 105, verse 1, "O give thanks to the Lord." Psalm 106, verse 1, "O give thanks to the Lord." Psalm 107, verse 1, "O give thanks to the Lord." Psalm 118, verse 1, "O give thanks to the Lord." Psalm 118, verse 29, 119, verse 62, 122, verse 4, 136, verse 1, 2, 3, and 26. "O give thanks to the Lord." Hallelujah. Are we giving thanks? Who are we giving thanks to? Thirdly, what are we giving thanks for? It is at this time every year that children young and old begin to make lists. There are lists of what we want for Christmas, lists of who we're buying gifts for, lists of who we're sending cards to, or maybe who we're not sending cards to. There are lists of things we plan to do better in the new year. There are lists of people we plan to invite to holiday celebrations. But do we have lists of what we're thankful for? Do we take time to consider what it is that we're thankful for? We know that it is good to be thankful. We recognize that God desires it to be an essential part of our lives. He receives it as an acceptable sacrifice. The scriptures make very clear. But do we know what we're thankful for here at this Thanksgiving? As it is our tradition here at Calvary Chapel, we give the opportunity to publicly declare Thanksgiving every Wednesday before Thanksgiving. We have our Wednesday night midweek service dedicated to a time of giving thanks. We have microphones set up here, and we give opportunity for the body of Christ to come up and share what they're thankful for. I hope to see you here this Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Perhaps invite one of your neighbors, family members, friends. I'm always amazed, and it has been one of my favorite services year in and year out, but I'm always amazed at how people will get up and they will share things that are really difficult things, and yet they'll say, "I'm thankful to God." Why? Because it's in the midst of those difficult things that we find that God is there, that He is near. There are many, many, many things to be thankful for. I'll save my list for Wednesday night. But I will say that I'm thankful for my wife, I'm thankful for my children, I'm thankful for the family that I have, I'm thankful for the extended family we have here in the church. I'm thankful that we live in a nation such as ours. What does the Bible have to say about Thanksgiving and what we should be thankful for, though? I already mentioned Psalm 106, verse 1, where it says, "Praise ye the Lord, give thanks to the Lord." But it goes on to say, "For He is good, for His mercy endures forever." Amen. We should be thankful that God is good, and that God is merciful. In the book of Exodus, after the children of Israel came out of Egypt, they came in Exodus chapter 19 to Mount Sinai, where they were to meet with God. And Moses, he went up onto the mountain to receive from the Lord the word of God, the law of God. And while he was there on Sinai, the children of Israel back down the mountain, they departed from the Lord in their hearts and in their actions. They made a god, lowercase g, a god of gold, and they began to worship this thing and dance around it, and they gave thanks to it for redeeming them out of Egypt. Praise and thanksgiving that is directed in the wrong direction is idolatry. Let me say that again. Praise and thanksgiving that is directed in the wrong direction is idolatry. God told Moses, while this was all happening, to go down the mountain, and he witnesses the idolatry of his people. And after that event, God brings what I believe to be a great mighty test to Moses in the form of an offer. "Moses, we'll destroy them. We'll start over with you. They'll no longer be the children of Israel. We'll call them the children of Moses." That has a nice ring to it, doesn't it? And I believe that that was a test for Moses. Moses instead passed the test by interceding on behalf of the people, and he has an opportunity there in that passage to witness the mercy and the grace, the goodness of God. And in awe of God's mercy, he says, "Lord, show me your glory." God says, "Moses, I can't show you my glory. You can't see my glory and live." But God makes provision for Moses, and in some way he passes by. He allows Moses to see something of the glory of God. And as he does, he declares his name to Moses, which in the scriptures, someone's name is synonymous with their character, with their nature. And in Exodus chapter 34, as God passes by him, it says in verse 6, the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful. Now, it doesn't end there. The Lord God, merciful and gracious and long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin. The things that God reveals about his character there, the things that dominate his character, the first attributes that he puts forward are merciful. I am so thankful that the first thing that he highlights in his character is his mercy. Amen. The Lord God, merciful. But he goes on. God is gracious. He is patient. He is good. He is full of truth. He is full of forgiveness. Now it goes on to say that God is just. He by no means clears the guilty. But we see God's mercy put forth as preeminent. And so we should be thankful to God for his mercy, for his goodness. Not only that, in Psalm 107, verse 8, we read, "Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love." We should be thankful today for God's unfailing love. His love that he demonstrated towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. His love that while we were yet dead in trespasses and sins, he made us alive together with his Son, because God, Ephesians 2 verse 4, is rich in mercy and he is great in love. And so we are thankful to God for his mercy, for his goodness. We're thankful to God for his unfailing love, his love that is everlasting, says Jeremiah. Jeremiah 31, God says, "The Lord appeared to me saying, yea, I have loved you with an everlasting love." We are thankful, as Psalm 145, verse 18 says, because God is always near. The Lord is near to them that call upon him, to all that call him in truth. Some of the founders of our nation were, in fact, deists. They believed in God. They believed that there is a God, but they believed that he, so to speak, kind of wound up the clock, and he is somewhere out on the other side of the universe, and he just allows it to continue going as it will. He's not interested in the affairs of man, but that's not as God is revealed in the scriptures. God is near to those who call upon him. Psalm 118, verse 21 tells us that God hears and answers our prayers. We should be thankful that God hears and answers our prayers. "I will praise thee, for you have heard me and are become my salvation." Not only is God near to us, but he hears us when we call out to him. In Jeremiah 33:3, he says, "Call to me and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things that you do not know." And so he is near to us. He hears our prayers. He answers our prayers. We are thankful today because God has given us his everlasting word. David in Psalm 119, verse 62, "At midnight I will rise and give thanks unto thee because of your righteous word, your righteous judgments." Not only has God given us his everlasting word, but we are thankful because God has given us everlasting life. Anybody thankful today that God has given you everlasting life? Yes. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28, the author of the book of Hebrews there says, "Therefore, since we have received or are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful." We are thankful today not only because we have everlasting life, been given God's everlasting word. He hears our prayers and answers them. He's always near us. He has loved us. He is good towards us. He is merciful towards us. We are thankful to God because God has given us his only begotten Son. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life." That everlasting life is a gift. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15, there Paul says, "Thanks be unto God for this unspeakable gift." And so we give thanks today. Certainly, we could make a list of things that we're thankful today that would be dominated by temporal things. We could say, "God, thank you for my house. Thank you for my car. Thank you for my dishwasher. Thank you for whatever it may be." All such things are good things to be thankful for, but they are temporal. They're passing away. He is truly thankful who finds the enduring things of God in Christ, because that person is eternally grateful. The enduring things that we should be thankful for are found only in Christ, and the person who finds those finds true gratitude. The Greek word translated thanksgiving is the Greek word eucharistia. It's a compound word made up of two Greek words, the Greek word eu and the Greek word charis, or grace. We have received grace, and therefore we are graciously thankful today. Strong's defines grace as the divine influence upon the heart and its result in the life, including gratitude. God working in our lives should cause us to be a people of gratitude. And this world, when they see Christians, should see a people that are dominated with thanksgiving. Not just one day of the year, but every day of our lives. As I was preparing this and considering this week, another question came to mind. What awaits the unthankful? Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, a verse you very likely read before, if not memorized, Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, for everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." That's something to be thankful for. But what awaits the unthankful? Verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." Look at verse 21. "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they," what? James tells us in James chapter 1, verse 17, that every good and perfect gift comes from God. Man, whether he is a follower of God, a disciple of Christ or not, has received great gifts from the Lord. God causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. God is a good and gracious giver of great and abundant things. Man has received the common grace of God, but one of the signs, Paul says, of the last days in 2 Timothy chapter 3 is that men would be unthankful. This know also, 2 Timothy 3, verse 1, "In the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy." A judgment awaits those that are not thankful, the scriptures reveal. Not thankful to God for the immeasurable blessings that he's poured out upon us. Perhaps you would even wonder, how could someone be unthankful? How could someone not have gratitude? I would suggest that it falls under one of four reasons. Either they're clueless, they're careless, they're calloused, or they're covetous. Either they're clueless. They don't realize today that they should be thankful. They have not recognized the great and awesome blessings that God has poured out upon them. Or maybe they do recognize them, but they're careless. Oh, I didn't notice that I should be thankful. I didn't realize that, yeah, that's something I should do. Or perhaps they're callous. They just don't care. I don't care to worship. I don't care to be thankful. I don't want to. Or they're covetous. I got shortchanged. I didn't get what I think I should have got. That other guy over there, he's got more than me, and that's not fair. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. Oh, that men would be thankful. "Make a joyful noise," Psalm 100 says, "all ye lands." This exhortation of Psalm 100 is not just to the nation of Israel. It's not just to one small group. He says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye nations." All nations are under this exhortation. Not just all nations, but verse 5 says, "For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations." Not just one group of people at a specific time, but in every generation, in every nation. Men ought always to give thanks, because this is good and acceptable. To give thanks in the form of worship with singing, giving a joyful noise to the Lord. Perhaps today you say, well, I don't sing well. That's okay. God didn't say make a, you know, a really good sounding song to the Lord. It says make a joyful noise. Perhaps you're dreadfully out of tune. Make a joyful noise. I won't identify the person, but a good friend of mine when I was in high school, he was the most tone-deaf person I've ever met. But every time we'd gather together for worship, he would sing at the top of his lungs as loud as he possibly could, and he made a joyful noise. And I know God was pleased. Not only do we worship the Lord and give thanks to him by making a joyful noise, but we give thanks to him by serving the Lord with gladness. Do you realize that your service to the Lord is worship to God? It gives thanks to his name when you serve him with gladness, not begrudgingly, oh, I have to do this. When you come before his presence with singing, why should we do these things? Well, know ye that the Lord, he is God. And he has made us and not we ourselves. I love that it says we have not made ourselves. We are not self-made. America thinks that we're full of a whole bunch of people that are self-made. And so they have no reason to be thankful. Why? I made myself. I ought to thank myself. False. God made you. You have what you have because God has been gracious. And because of the abundance you have a responsibility to be thankful. We are his people. Not only has he made us, but he has made us his people, and he has made us the sheep of his pasture. He is a good shepherd to us. And so we enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. That means that we have to make it our aim to appear before him to worship him. That means that we have to plan to be thankful. I have found, perhaps you have seen this too, thanksgiving just doesn't happen. You have to plan to be thankful. Make a point to come before him. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Because he is good and his mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to every generation. It is my hope, it is my prayer that in my life, people would see thanksgiving. Not just on the fourth Thursday of every year, but that it would be evident in every aspect of my life. I recognize and realize that that's not always the case. But I pray that God would work in me that recognition. That he is good. His mercy endures forever. And he is worthy of our praise. Worthy of our devotion. Of our glad service to bring glory to his name. Amen? Let's stand and pray. Father, we thank you today. We bless your name for all that you are and all that you've given to us. God, we don't even fully comprehend the greatness of the blessing that you have poured out upon us. We don't completely know how good we truly have it from your hand. But throughout eternity, we will begin to grasp and understand the greatness of your love and your mercy, your truth. God, even now as we close this service and as we prepare for a holiday wherein we are to give thanks, help us, Lord, to recognize your goodness and to bless your name. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.